Can we enhance our health, wellness, and longevity through practicing mindfulness and meditation? Will practicing such powerful techniques allow us to better understand what our mission and purpose is in life? This season, I continue my research into better understanding mindfulness and meditation. I will connect with some of the greatest thought leaders who will share their immersive experiences with me. This can be used and valued by everyone, but I especially want to reach military veterans and active duty warriors. Roughly 22 military veterans commit suicide every single day. Trust me when I say these techniques can and will save your life. Welcome to the Journey to Earth podcast. We ask you to become the tip of the spear, the 1%, the best of the best. We ask you to stand between good versus evil, and you get the job done without question. You stare evil in the eyes and confront the worst that this world has to throw at you. Because of you, a child was able to go to school and live a normal life. Because of you, a child was able to thrive because they had a mom and dad, unlike other children, who lost their parents due to an act of war. Because of you, we are able to live a free life that keeps us away from evil. You have felt the wave of an explosion rippling throughout your body. You've smelled your brother's and sister's blood, and you've tasted more tears as they roll down your face due to the sacrifice of the life that you proudly chose. Every single day, roughly 22 military veterans commit suicide. A little girl or little boy will never be able to tell their mom and dad that they love them. A husband and wife will never be able to grow old with the love of their life. And a mother and father will have to endure the unthinkable and bury a child. This is unacceptable. When our heroes need us the most, we turn our backs on them. There are different techniques and practices available that will allow you to overcome many of the challenges that you are facing from the proud life that you proudly serve. That's what we're here to talk about today. My name is Mark DeLuca, and I'd like to welcome you to Limitless. Hello, and thank you. Thank you. Right now, in this very moment, I want you to bring your attention and focus to what is happening right here, right now. I want you to slowly close your eyes and take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold your breath, and then slowly breathe out through your mouth, exhausting all of the air in your lungs. Keeping your eyes closed, I want you to imagine that it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're surrounded by darkness. You're on board a military helicopter traveling to your objective. You're searching for an evil and dangerous terrorist, a bomb maker who is responsible for killing thousands, to include innocent children, mothers, fathers, innocent everyday people, and your military brothers and sisters in service. You arrive above your objective, the ropes come out of the helicopter, and you fast rope, your feet hitting the ground and instantly propelling you forward. Your footsteps are in cadence with your team. Every action is calculated. Every decision is precise. You know what your team is going to do before they know what they are going to do. You arrive to the building, weapon sighted in. A team member deploys a sticky strip to the door, and you and your team begin to back up. This is where things begin to slow down. You start to understand that in the next few seconds, you could be killed. You accept it. You also understand that you may have to shoot and kill evil. Again, you accept it. 3, 2, 1, breach, 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 boom! The door flies open. You and your team flow in like water. You're feeding off one another. Bullets are flying past you. They're bouncing off the walls, shrapnel hitting you in the face. Yet you continue to push forward to the threat. This experience is perhaps one of the most stressful and emotional things that a human being can go through. When deployed in war, our military service members often encounter this every single day. A question I have is, what makes a person exceptional versus average? The reason I ask this is because for a hero to willingly and consciously push towards the threat, that is an exceptional person. You see, there's something happening subconsciously that many people are not aware of. And it's when you become aware of this that you're able to overcome almost every challenge that you'll ever be presented. You often hear military veterans talk about how much they miss this, how they love it, they're addicted to it, they want more of it. To an everyday person that has never experienced something like this, that sounds absolutely freaking crazy, right? There's actually a reason behind why this is happening. It's in these moments that you're practicing the greatest form of mindfulness and meditation. Both of these have been shown to increase your mental and physical health, therefore enhancing and improving your overall human optimization. Now, here's my question. Why would you stop practicing mindfulness and meditation when you return home from war or you separate from the military? Now, I also want you to factor in that at 18 years old, or however old you were when you enlisted in the military, you were immediately given a mission and a purpose. When you have a mission and a purpose, you have passion. This is really what drives us to achieve the greatest success in our life. So now again, on what is happening here, we have a military member who is separating from the military. They are no longer practicing mindfulness and meditation. They also now feel as though their mission and purpose has been pulled out right from underneath of them. This creates a very deadly and dangerous cocktail. I want you to think back throughout your time in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, or your military training. At any time, were you ever provided any knowledge or information about mindfulness and meditation? What about how to find your purpose and mission, or maybe re-engage it if it becomes lost? The answer to that is likely no. Now, I want you to imagine, what if military veterans or active duty service members who have committed suicide or are actively struggling right now were provided with this valuable information? Would they still be here? Here we know with certainty that there is a problem. Yet the higher powers that be continue to try and employ the same exact solutions over and over again in hopes that something will eventually work. That by definition is almost the definition of insanity. In order to actually fix this problem, we have to flip things upside down and take a new approach. Before you can actually fix or act on a solution, you have to understand what's happening behind the scenes, at least at the most basic level. Now, when you quantify the process, dealing with emotions such as depression or stress is the same exact process as when you're overcoming the challenges involved in a firefight. These are also the same principles that define exceptional leaders. Whenever you are encountered with a stressful, fearful, or emotional situation, no matter the type, follow this process and it will allow you to make clear, rational decisions. Evolutionary adaptation is one of the most interesting things I've ever studied. This is especially true for survival. Let me provide you a great example to start. I want you to imagine that you're walking in a park and you observe a deer. When the deer observes you, the deer freezes. It becomes absolutely still. The reason why the deer is not moving is because it knows through evolution that predators are looking for movement. And if it moves, there is an increased risk that it could be killed. Now, if you were to continue walking toward the deer, its next action that it will take is flight. The deer is going to run as fast as possible and try to increase the distance between itself and you as the threat. Now, let's say that a predator was able to get the deer. What's fascinating is now the deer is going to change its approach for a third time and is going to fight. This is the same exact process that we as humans must take for any challenging or stressful situation. What defines an exceptional person versus an average person is how fast you are able to analyze and move from one phase to the next. A starting point is really asking the continuous question, who am I? Ask yourself, do you really know what your limitations are? What are you truly capable of? You see, most people will live their entire life never actually understanding that they're capable of achieving so much more. If you were ever to be tested, and I'm talking about a make it or break it situation where you have to perform, you need to understand how you will respond. The only way that you will truly know is by understanding the process in practice. As a professional, I work in the tech sector, designing, developing, and planning for systems and applications to survive really any type of catastrophic event. Whenever I lead these complex processes, I always share an important ethos. This is an ethos that I learned while working within the counterterrorism space, and I've sort of added to it. The ethos goes, in times of disaster or crisis, you will default to your most basic level of training. You must become a master of the basics. The brain analyzes and processes a ridiculous amount of information every single second. We can break all of this information into two primary groups. The first is slow processes. This aligns with more complex and in-depth analysis and problem solving. More or less time is not a critical factor here. The second is fast processing. Fast processing requires little attention and is very direct. Think about if you were to get up right now and walk to your mailbox. The path that you would take to get there and every action within, in large part, is governed by fast processing. If we were to quantify this down just a little bit more, we can take fast processing and subdivide it into routine and survival. Routine is exactly what I just described to you at the mailbox situation, or when you have an itch on your nose. When you're presented with a stressful or emotional situation, your brain's fast processing and survival subprocessing almost always take over. Actions happen subconsciously and very, very quickly. When you encounter any event like this, the fast processing immediately triggers your freeze, flight, or fight response. Your nervous system immediately kicks in, adrenaline starts pumping throughout your body, your breathing intensifies, and your heartbeat grows fast. In some cases, you become paralyzed, where you physically cannot move. You may even feel sick to your stomach. I personally can recall several instances where I almost forget how to speak clearly. What you are experiencing are symptoms that are common when you're in the freeze state. It is important to understand that when you're in this state, you never want to make important or rational decisions. You must reset your brain to move on out of the freeze state as quickly as possible. You can do this by taking a deep breath, consciously understanding the big picture and breaking it down into smaller pieces. You need to find your pivot point. For everyone, their pivot point is different. This is basically a trigger that allows for your brain to recognize and process what is happening in the moment. This is what allows you to move out of the freeze state of mind. For me personally, when I encounter these types of situations, I do this counting technique with my fingers, where I touch four fingers on my right hand to my thumb, one at a time, counting forwards and then backwards. Basically like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. After your trigger script, you need to slowly begin to bring your attention and awareness to focusing on what is happening in the moment. Communicate and really engage your complex thinking. Now, you may be asking how you can prove this. As part of my research, I was fortunate to study the brain scans of two different people. The first, a monk who meditated daily. The second, a person who has never meditated a day in their life. The scans revealed something interesting. The monk was able to sustain longer rates of gamma brainwave frequencies. This is directly associated with entering an enhanced state of cognitive consciousness problem solving, and really overall happiness. Learning to work with your brainwave frequencies can help with regulating stress, depression, anxiety, brain fog, and much more. So now, mindfulness is a state of mind in which we focus our awareness to what is happening in the moment. We no longer allow hundreds of thoughts to process, only one. This creates a better experience of life. At the same time, meditation is a way of finding complete calm and clarity through calming your thoughts. The goal is to achieve a mentally clear and emotionally calm state of mind. What I want you to understand is that there are roughly 100 billion neurons in the brain. Brain waves are produced when neurons in your brain communicate with one another. Different types of brain waves are produced when you have thoughts, emotions, or behavior. The brain waves differ according to your mood and activity. What mindfulness and meditation is able to do is actually control your brain waves, commonly take them from a higher frequency to a lower frequency, therefore allowing you some control over how you feel. Now, something interesting is that many of the top researchers and scientists in this field will actually tell you that we know more about the moon than we do our own human brain. That's fairly scary, is it not? From the limited information that we do know, and really relying on different types of brain scans, we can tell that when mindfulness and meditation is practiced, it does have some impact to the brain. One of those impacts is to the frontal lobe, which is responsible for planning and reasoning. During meditation, this actually turns off and helps you detach and relax. There's also a part of the brain called the thalamus, which is responsible for relaying motor and sensory signals to the cerebral cortex. This also slows down and enables you to stay calm. Now, there are a few other benefits from mindfulness and meditation with the brain, and I'm not going to talk about that during today's presentation. Maybe that's something we'll take a deep dive into later on, or we'll connect with some experts in the neuroscience space. But what I want to talk about are the different types of brainwaves. Remember, you cannot actually do something properly unless you understand what is going on behind the scenes and why it's beneficial. So when we are awake during normal day or when we're conscious, our brain waves fall into what is known as a beta brainwave frequency. This is typically between 14 and 30 hertz. Now, whenever we engage in any type of physical or mental relaxation, we're basically awake, but a little drowsy. Our brainwave frequencies actually drop down to between 9 and 13 hertz. So now whenever it's bedtime, we lay down, we count some sheep, we go to sleep, we enter into this deep dreamless state where we have basically a loss of bodily awareness. Our brainwave frequencies are entering a state below 4 hertz, and this is called the delta brainwave frequencies. Now, this is where it gets important. So turn your hearing volume up. Whenever we practice deep meditation or mindfulness, you'll commonly find this brainwave frequency in play when we're dreaming or when we enter REM sleep, or really anything with reduced consciousness. Again, this is known as the theta brainwave frequency range, and it's between 4 and 8 hertz. Now, what's interesting, and I spoke on this a little bit earlier with the study between the monk who meditates every day and the brainwaves for someone who has never meditated a day in their life, is that there's also an area, a brainwave frequency, that is for 30 hertz and above. And this basically allows for a person to achieve heightened perception. There's also been some studies that suggest that this brainwave frequency area also allows you to have enhanced cognitive ability and strategic thinking, but it's known as a gamma brainwave frequency. And what a lot of these early studies suggest is that by practicing mindfulness and meditation, you're able to sustain a longer time period within this gamma brainwave frequency than somebody who does not. Because on a typical day, you're only able to really enter this for a few seconds, not long at all. But again, when we look at the time period that the monk was able to stay within the gamma brainwave frequency, it was much more impressive than a person that has never practiced mindfulness a day in their life. So what I really want everybody to understand here is that I myself am a United States Marine Corps veteran. Semper Fi to any Marines in attendance here today. I had the opportunity and privilege to serve during Operation Enduring Freedom. After the military, I became a student of technology. My focus was primarily in network, cybersecurity, psychology, resiliency, and quantum mechanics. I quickly found myself working in the tech sector, leading these incredible projects. I'm talking projects such as deep space exploration, planetary defense, and leading disasters and crisis from a technical standpoint where systems and applications absolutely cannot become unavailable. We have to keep 100% uptime. Now, at this time, I also owned a business. I had several different brands funneling through it. So I felt like I was really crushing life. I was also in the process and doing really good at stopping a really bad habit of chewing tobacco. Yet, one day, I started to feel throat pain. And this continued. So I eventually went to my wife and said, "Jen, I think I may have throat cancer." Well, we also have a very close friend who is in the medical field. And both my wife and our friend that's in the medical field basically told me to get over my man cold and to man up. Fast forward some time later, I started to have these reoccurring headaches. I felt like I had pressure in the crown of my head. So now I go to my wife and I say, "Jen, I think I have a brain tumor." Y'all can imagine her response, right? Nonetheless, one night she ends up taking me to the Veterans Affairs Hospital. A few brain scans later, it turns out that I did not have a brain tumor. So what in the world was going on with me? Well, it turns out that what I actually had was stress. Sitting at my desk one night, I realized that I needed to find a different outlet. I needed to take a different approach. Again, I talked about the definition of insanity when you just try to continue to do the same thing over and over again in hopes that it will eventually work. I knew that was not the case here. So I turned to mindfulness and meditation, and within 3 months' time, it changed my life both personally and professionally. For the past couple of years, I've had the opportunity to research and study mindfulness and meditation. I've connected with some of the greatest thought leaders from around the world, and they've allowed me to go on this immersive experience with them, really tapping in and understanding just how powerful these two practices really are. What I want all of our military veterans to know is that you need to find your next mission and purpose. Use the skills that the military has taught you for good. This can be true for leadership, problem solving, and exploration. Many veterans learn about land navigation and surviving off the land. Use this to lead expeditions into the field in support of research. If not land navigation, I promise you, you have a skill that is useful. The real magic is when you combine this with adventure sports. A process that I call the flow state occurs. This is when all your neurons are firing at once, you're laser focused, absolutely in the moment, and you are thinking 3 to 4 steps ahead at all times. This is mindfulness. You see, it's when combining all of these disciplines together do you really experience the power. Let us close with a simple mindfulness and meditation practice that I recommend you engage with daily. Okay, so right now, at this very moment, I want you to think about and bring your awareness and focus to what is happening in this present moment. I want you to allow your nerves to settle down. Allow your thoughts to quiet down that have pursued you throughout the day leading to this presentation. I want you to feel the ground rise up to meet your feet or your body underneath you. You are strong. I want you to slowly close your eyes. Here in just a moment, you're going to take a slow, deep breath in through your nose for a count of five. You're going to hold your breath for a count of three. And then you're going to breathe out of your mouth, exhausting all of the air out of your lungs for a count of seven. Let's begin. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold. And now take a deep breath out of your mouth, exhausting all of the air in your lungs. This is your comfortable place. I want you to relax your muscles. We're going to go through a mental body scan. As I get to each section or location of your body, I want you to clench the muscle group within that location of your body and hold that clench for a period of 5 seconds and then release. We're going to start at the top with your eyebrows. I want you to clench your eyebrows together and hold for 5 seconds. Release, and I now want you to clench your face. I want you to release and now slowly move down your body, scanning as you go, looking and feeling for any signs of pain or tension. I now want you to get to your neck and shoulders. Clench your neck and shoulders together. I want you to release and slowly move down to your arms and clench them together. Bring your focus and awareness to your hands. If any thoughts creep their way into your mind, I want you to slowly allow those thoughts to exit and bring your attention back to this very present moment as you move from your hands down to your pelvis and thighs, clenching this muscle group for 5 seconds. I now want you to bring your attention to your feet and toes. Again, clenching the muscle groups for 5 seconds. Just as we did at the very beginning, we're going to do another breathing technique just as before. I want you to breathe in deep through your nose for a period of 5 seconds. I want you to hold it for 3 seconds. And I want you to breathe out of your mouth, exhausting all of the air out of your lungs for 7 seconds. Let your breath return to its normal routine breathing. Keep your eyes closed. And I want you to answer a few questions when I engage you. Your answer should only be one word. Allow it to come into your mind and be processed and absorbed. So that way you can continue to improve and enhance your day. How would you describe yourself in one word? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? How do you behave in relationships with your friends, family, or colleagues? Do you make friends easily? Do you have a strong self-image? How easily are you distracted? Do you find silence rewarding or irksome? Now, when you're ready, I want you to bring your focus and attention back to your breath in this very moment. When you are ready, slowly open your eyes. Today's talk is simply a proof of concept for your mind to let you know that there are reliable solutions out there that you likely have not been introduced to yet. These are practices that have been relied upon from the very beginning of time. If this is something that you believe may work for you or that you're interested in, begin to explore it and allow yourself to open up to it. Throughout this season of the Journey to Earth podcast, I'm going to take you deeper into the world of mindfulness and meditation, as well as other parallel practices that really can help you. If you have any questions or would like to connect with me, feel free to reach out. I want to close by engaging every single military veteran in the audience. I want to give you the respect that you have earned and say thank you for everything that you have done for us. I hope that you enjoy your special day, and thank you, everybody, for listening in.